is also where the fat shaming starts. Right. Oh, so gosh. The narrator comes up and is like, and then they saw the glob go glab glab, which is a fat fucking piece of shit that should be ashamed
you,
of itself. Fucking so
did
ugly.
The glob go glab glab fuck the narrator's wife? Because it sounds like the glob go glab glab fuck the narrator's
it's
wife.
So mean.
A lot.
The fat, shitty, ugly, fucking grotesque body squirms like a fat yes. piece of shit out of this. It's so awful. It's so mean.
God awful movie. Movies.
Welcome back to the Gamcast, where each week we sample another selection from Christian cinema because apparently we can't help it. I'm your host, No Illusions. Heath is going to be unable to join us this week, but sitting 900 miles to my northeast is my bad friend Eli Bosnick. Eli, how are you this fine afternoon, sir?
Ready for some high quality children's entertainment, Noah.
Well, unfortunately, I do not have that on tap.
Yeah, no, that's not today.
And that voice that you just heard, that is the co-host of Cognitive Dissonance, Citation Needed, and Lawful Assembly, as well as the host of Season Liberally, the cooking channel on YouTube, Cecil Something Italian. Cecil, welcome back, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
So tell us, Cecil. What will we be breaking down today?
All right. So this week we watched Stravinsky and the Mysterious House, which should have been subtitled Baby's First Book Burning.
Sure is. Yeah. Sure is.
Yeah. Lest the weirdness of the animation obscure the weirdness of the message. And Eli, how bad was this movie?
Well, if you loved The Lion of Judah and The Pilgrim's Progress, the latter of which the maker of this film actually says was an inspiration to him, but you missed the graphics of the day your Dreamcast killed itself in your bathtub, you yes. will love this yeah, movie.
Man. Stop maligning the Dreamcast. Okay, so...
I'm Team Dreamcast too, Noah. Just
there
so you know,
we
Team
go.
Dreamcast.
Look at
Team Dreamcast.
By the way, patrons of Scathing Atheist, just so you know, I made a joke a little while back about where I implied that the Dreamcast had the dual CPU system. That was, of course, the Sega Saturn. I caught it before I sent it out on the regular feed, but the patrons may have heard that, and I just want to apologize for any harm that may have caused you.
I get All it. Right. I get it. I'm glad that you're coming out and owning it, Noah. That's, yeah. that's
well,
what's
you know,
important.
You got to be responsible to your listenership. You got to
yes, exactly. You got to learn. And grow with them. Yeah.
So that's what the Creator Accountability Network is for. It's for these kind of things.
It's actually their first action was calling out Noah for the Dreamcast.
Right. No, obviously.
That, yeah.
All right. So yes, but this is a one man animation that somehow looks like fewer people were involved in that. It's the brainchild of one David Hutter. And I have to read you the description that somebody, definitely David Hutter, wrote about him on fandom.com. And thanks to the friend of the show, Dan Beecher, for bringing this to my attention. This is amazing. Quote, David Hutter is the director, producer, animator, editor, visionary, sound recorder, sound mixer, original song producer, voice actor, writer, screenplay writer, manager, actor, and distributor of Stravinsky and the Mysterious House. Yes.
Oh.
And a movie that we have not seen since motherfucking Birdemic. The dude literally spelled the name of his own fucking movie
you
wrong.
It
is hagiographical biography of himself.
Brutal.
Or maybe it was just one of his huge fans.
It could have been one of his huge fans, yes, that made that mistake. All right.
One day I will be called visionary. One day.
Yeah. Well, you can call yourself visionary.
By myself. Yes.
Exactly.
By myself. I will look forward.
You can be a nutritionist and a visionary just like yeah. that. You just fucking step up to the plate.
Homeopathic practitioner.
That's all you have to do.
So is there anything you guys want to nominate this one for being the best at being the worst at?
So I would like to nominate it for best worst face sitting and yep. let me explain myself. So this is a children's movie. So in the children's movie, the books are faces. So they have no body. They're just a head mm-hmm. with a face. That's a book. And in order to consume these books, the glab go glab glab, which you will learn about later, sits on their faces and sucks himself into them. Mm-hmm. And it's the worst face sitting because I've seen much better face sitting in other children's movies.
Right.
So I think,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think this is definitely the worst face sitting I've ever seen.
The fact that you said glob, glob, glab, glab so casually just now.
And got it right. He nailed it. You didn't, but it's nailed it.
I didn't. Yeah, no.
It's like the mountain that in Iceland.
Standing in front of my computer before this going, glob, go, gab, go, lab. Glob, go, gab, go, lab. Glob, go, gab, go, lab.
Yeah. Well, don't say it three times. It'll appear behind you.
That's Jesus. And then you gotta let it sit on your face.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. It's like Jeepers Creepers.
I got enough books to keep him distracted. Yeah. So, Jesus Christ.
You read a lot of sci-fi, huh?
A lot of Bill Bryson on this show.
So yeah, no, I came real close to going with best worst fat shaming. We'll get to that.
Yeah, sure. For sure.
But I have to go with best worst walking because
it's so true.
When it comes to animation, apparently walking is super hard, especially when some of your characters have four legs and some of them are supposed to hop and some of them slither and shit. And this guy just couldn't be bothered.
No. No, I have dragged pictures to the trash on my desktop with more smoothness than he animates the characters in this film,
100%.
Which brings me to my best worst. Best worst, the guy who made this movie is 100% going to murder me. Look, podcast listener, when I die, and it will be soon, no matter what you hear, no matter how clearly the police declare it an accident, there is no fucking shot the guy who made this movie is not going to hunt me down and peel me like a tangerine, okay? Yes. There's no shit. This podcast is a suicide attempt. It should be the police should stop me from doing it. They should knock the microphone from my hand, and that guy in China who waits on that bridge should hug me and drive me away on a motorcycle. This guy is going to show me each of my organs individually before I die, and it's the risk. I've never been more certain of anything. I won't survive a comedy bet.
Me and Cecil are going to be spared because we pronounced glob, glob, gab, glab correctly. Yeah, but yeah,
exactly. That's how you do it. That's how you get past his riddle. It's being able to say glob, go, glab, glab.
We're just all in a saw room with a spike attached to our face.
Say glob, go, glab, glab.
And Eli's like, glib, glob, glib, glob. Fuck, fuck.
All right. Well, I don't know enough synonyms for horrifying to properly describe this animation. So we're going to take a quick break while I dust off my thesaurus. But we'll be back in a minute with all the anti-reading propaganda that is Stravinsky and the Mysterious House.
And 8, 9, 10.
Great workout.
Seriously, great workout.
Hey, what you guys doing?
Oh, we're getting in shape with FitBod.
Really? Why?
Oh, we're pretty sure the guy who made this movie is going to hunt us down and murder us.
Yeah, big time.
Guys, look, I don't think that...
I know you don't think an app can help you work out, but FitBod can. Whether you're a seasoned gym goer or just starting your fitness journey, FitBod will push you to make progress. It's like having your own personal trainer, but better. It's cheaper, you can work out anywhere with or without equipment, and it's easy to build a custom fitness plan that works for you.
Wow, that's cool. But guys, I was just
going to... Do we personally recommend it? I was using FitBod even before I started working on my health, but now that it knows my needs and priorities, every workout is made just for me. That's why I, no illusions, personally recommend FitBod.
Look, guys, I'm just saying...
Oh, you want to know where to sign up? Of course. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription or try the app free at fitbod.me/gam. That's FITBOD.ME/gam.
So, did we answer your questions?
No, I was just going to say you're probably never going to see him coming, so there's no point in getting in shape.
Yeah, that's probably true.
That makes sense.
He's behind you right now.
Probably.
Probably.
Hello.
Who are you and what are you doing in my room?
You're Craig Mitchell of Amazon Prime Digital Services.
Yeah, so?
I brought you a gift.
Is this a VHS?
For now. But you will put it on the intranet. It's film. I made it. Based on a 1980s Christian audio drama.
Yeah, I'm calling the cops.
You can't. I ate your phone.
I'm sorry, you ate it?
Yep, I'm a bit like the Rat King myself. Anyways, you'll get that when you watch the movie.
I don't have a VHS player.
You do now. I bought one and I set it up while you were reading your daughter a bedtime story. Mm-hmm. Not one that praised the Lord, but I think your tune will change in time. So, what do you say?
Yeah, I'll put your movie on Amazon Prime.
And Craig?
Yeah.
Don't go glob go blab 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 on me.
You got it, man.
Thanks, Craig. Thank you.
And we're back for the breakdown, and we're going to start with a nauseous pan over some poorly animated bookshelves that ultimately resolves on a cheap knockoff of the Lord of the Rings map.
Yeah, yeah, that Lord of the Rings map. I love that the whole concept of this is going to be shitting on books, but they steal all of their good ideas from other books.
Right, yeah, right. Also, Cecil, I love your first animation note here.
Yeah, when I first saw the first animation come in, the first thought that popped into my head was, you've got to install microwave ovens.
That's the thing. This animation is bad in a way that no animation has ever been bad before, right? Because like when animation technology was bad enough to look this bad, it couldn't look this good. This level
right.
of background, like it does, it's an amazing, unique vision of horror and half-assedness.
It's like shabby chic animation, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
It's somehow HD low res. I don't know how that's possible.
Right.
But it's sparkling at 1080p, these single polygons that are supposed to be animals.
Yeah.
And I have to explain something because this goes on throughout my notes and I promise I won't revisit it a bunch, but it's here at the beginning. I was really confused. So when I looked at the website for this movie, he says that this is inspired by the Chronicles of Narnia. So I thought he meant like, it is actually inspired by the plot or the characters or the stories of Chronicles of Narnia. So I spent the entire movie being like, I don't remember any of this shit from the Chronicles of Narnia, but there's a lot of books and that guy was an idiot and he does have Jesus in the last one. So maybe there's a glob, 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 glob and I just missed it, right? So like the thematicness of this world that he's created is so weird, right? So for instance, Strowinski, the little mole person, he lives in a land ruled by the Elohim, right? Which is the Hebrew word for like God,
yep.
right? But he lives in a place called Owliewood. And I feel like you really need to choose a tone between Owliewood and ruled by the Elohim. Yes. They can't coexist.
Yes.
Thank you. Well, there's also this weird amount of superfluous detail. So what I discovered at the end is this is based on some audio drama he used to listen to back in the 80s or whatever, which explains to some degree why there's all of this weird detail. Right? Because it says like, you know, Stravinsky went to the school of Eagle Owl Nicodemus in Owliewood. And I'm like, why does that sound like a compromise where we had to use everybody's name for the school?
Yeah.
Right?
He was a Civil War general, actually.
Oh, okay.
So then we had to rename it. Yeah.
We've got a statue about him in Waycross, yeah. actually, now that I think about it. Actually.
It's like when people are trying to rip off Harry Potter stuff, but they don't want to use any of the IP. So they're like, here at Fartwart School of Wizard and Squandery.
Yeah.
And then they also spend time too telling you that they live in a forest of elves, but we meet no elves.
Yes. There's so much weird detail. So yeah, so we get this little opening narration that explains to us that Stravinsky and his friends lived and went to school or whatever. And then we get the credits, and over the credits, we just get random snippets of the movie.
Yes. Yeah. You can always tell a quality movie. This is true with every single MST3K movie where you get to watch most of the movie in the beginning credits.
Yep, right.
Yeah, this is true with all bad movies, and he follows this formula perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to get these terrifying glimpses of the characters that we're going to meet. A cello, a flesh turd. I don't know how else.
Flesh turd, yep.
To describe that thing.
Appendix. Yeah, sure.
Scottish racism. Yeah. I didn't think you could be racist against Scottish people, but you can.
You can.
He nails it. Yeah.
We have a good example. And then, of course, we also see a flash of the Scarlet Queen.
Yeah.
The image that this creator no doubt jerks off to.
Very sharp hands. Very sharp.
I do not think the creator of this movie has seen a woman before. That is my... Based on how he animated the Scarlet Queen, I think he has only heard of them from the Bible.
Right.
It's a bad description too, because her arms do not look like real arms.
No.
They look like, you look like she has Popeye forearms and then they go to a very sharp point.
Sharp point, yeah.
Sharp, sharp.
Right, yeah. The hands are like hand buds. It's right. Really
Edward Longdorn hands.
Hand
yeah.
buds, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it's just so fucking, everything is so gross and weird in this, yeah. So, okay, so the credits wrap up. We cut to Stravinsky and his friends heading home from school. And by the way, if I seem like I'm pronouncing Stravinsky, like I'm forcing the pronunciation, it's spelled Strawinsky, and I'm trying not to say that, so apologies for that. So Stravinsky's and his buddies are heading home from school when they find a forest. Now, how the fuck do you find a forest on your way home from school? You would have known it was there, right?
Sure.
Feel sure. Like, yeah.
You would think they would have seen it prior, but no, yeah. They definitely found it. This is the first day it appeared. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the cast of characters, by the way, that we have Stravinsky the Mole, we have Harold the Hedgehog, Klopstock the Tortoise, and Elbow the Blue Rabbit.
Oh, the Google Translate really failed him on that one, huh? Yes.
So, I will say, first off, let's talk. Can we talk about the figures themselves just for a second?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So this whole movie is a absolute terrifying bad trip. Mm-hmm. And so when you get a chance to see these characters, the most terrifying is Elbow the Rabbit, because it looks like the rabbit off Donnie Darko, just colored differently.
Yes.
Its eyes are super sunk into its head and it looks really terrifying, and its rictus of a face never really changes. And then the way in which it moves is how Eli described earlier. So it's kind of frozen, and then it just sort of moves as if someone is clicking and dragging it across the screen. It's terrifying.
Yep. It's a physics-based hop that this fucking rabbit demon does. And on the note of a bad trip, because Noah said this in our private message, and I think it's the best description of the experience of this movie. If you've had a bad acid trip, that's how this movie looks the whole time.
Yes.
Right? So if you've never had a bad acid trip before, one of the things that happens is you'll look at something and it looks weird and bad, and you can't really describe it, right? Now I can. It looks like Stravinsky in The Mysterious House. That's how it looks weird and bad. It looks weird and bad like that. I will show people, if they'll be like, oh, I'm doing acid, what's the worst I can expect? I'll show them this 30-minute children's cartoon on Amazon Prime, and they will not do acid.
That'll be way better, way more effective than Nancy Reagan ever was. Yeah. So, yeah, no, the thing about this animation is that, like, only the thing that needs to move moves, right? So, like, if something raises its arms, the rest of its body and face and everything are perfectly still the whole time. So, yeah, every action that they take is terrible, but the rabbit is worse because everybody else is walking, right? They're walking, and there's just sort of a, like, there's movement in the legs and they're moving along, and we're used to seeing shit like that in video games and stuff. But the rabbit is hopping and only, like, the bottom of its feet are moving in the hops. It just looks so bizarre.
It's the worst.
And there is something to be said about bad animation and your brain getting used to it, right? So, like, as time goes on, when you see bad animation, your brain will just be like, okay, well, that's just how they're going to animate this. And you kind of forget about the mechanics of it. The mechanics change so often that you can't actually forget that the animation is terrible.
New and surprising.
Yeah, because later, the rabbit's going to move totally differently when it goes up the stairs, and you're like, what in the fuck is happening? It's fucking when the lady's head turns backwards and she crawls like a crab in Exorcist. That's half this movie.
Yes, that's how this movie is. This movie is animated entirely in the uncanny valley.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Just to make it worse, there's one song, yes, there are musical numbers, that is perfectly animated that, like, doesn't acknowledge the rest of the movie. It's fucking insane. We'll talk about it when it happens.
Okay, so they go into this forest to check it out, and they find a mysterious mansion. And they all stand around going, like, so, hey, should we go into the mysterious mansion, or what do you guys think? And they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the plot. It's in the name of Stravinsky and the mysterious house. We definitely don't leave.
You guys want to break and enter? Yeah, let's break and enter.
Yeah,
let's break and enter.
We're animals in a children's cartoon. Yeah. Let's absolutely break and enter.
Yep.
I do want to point out here that, again, like, this whole thing is filled with, so that audio drama is German, so it's filled with all these anachronisms from the translation, including when the hedgehog is like, let's go inside, the turtle says, better not, it might be enchanted. And I'm like, do you mean haunted? I don't think you mean enchanted.
Well, so, okay, and the narrator's like, the four pushed through the gate and climbed the stairs. And it's like, well, yeah, because the animation is so bad, he didn't want us getting lost as to what was supposed to be happening. Yeah, no, I guess.
To be fair, an accurate description would have been, I clicked on the gate, then I clicked on the stairs. Animation's
first
hard.
The lair was behind them, but now it's in front of them. Yeah. So, but they're on their way into the mansion, and Elbow the Rabbit trips over something in the ground, and they decide to dig it up and find out what it is.
I wrote in my notes, please be a body, please be a body, please be a body.
The animation of them digging is insanity on mushrooms. That was the weirdest it ever fucking got, if you really paid attention to that. But yeah,
all of the models turn horizontal, begin to levitate above the ground, and their arms just make up and down motions.
And the ground like descends below them like that game Populous on Super Nintendo, you know.
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, all my references. I get my references just get older and older as we go. Yeah, today.
No, sure. I get it. You're inspired by the animation of this
for
movie.
Sure.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
It's a real Dig Dug situation.
Right, yeah. So they dig into the thing and they find that there's a bag of gold buried in the yard. And for his part, Harold the Hedgehog is like, well, I say we fucking keep it and dip the fuck out. Right? Right, everyone? Right?
I love that it's like, he's like, well, if they buried it here, I'm sure they don't want it anymore.
Yes, yes.
They hid it in the garden. I'm sure they were just like, fuck that gold. I just threw that shit out. Yeah.
Ugh, I am so sick of all this gold around the house. Do we have a hole somewhere that I could just... like put it there and forget about it.
Can we stop just for a second, though, and acknowledge that the gold plot is the stupidest? Like, the whole movie's stupid, and most of it's actually actively anti-intellectual. But genuinely, this gold plot makes no sense and is never resolved.
Oh, I'll explain it to you, and you'll love it. You're going to love it.
Okay. Oh, thank God. Thank you so much.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Hopefully it's racist.
Yeah. The only way the gold plot makes sense to me is if the Scarlet Queen is a terrible witch and abuser of animals, and Strawinsky's just the only one who doesn't know about it.
Again, we'll get to it. Stockholm Syndrome.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right, yeah, there you go. So yeah, but Stravinsky, he's a fucking narc, and he's like, no, let's go inside and find out who owns the gold, right? Let's just make sure that we carry it with us the whole time, too, though. The narrator's like, Harold was hoping to meet an elf. Elbow was scared of being attacked by a monster. And I'm like, oh, I'm sure both of those things will be relevant at some point. Otherwise, why the fuck would you tell me them? Jesus fucking Christ. So, okay. So, but eventually they go in the house. And from this point on, this movie will have more Dutch angles than Battlefield Earth, right? To give us the sense that this is a creepy house. Every time we come to a new room, it's a Dutch angle.
And... want to point out, this opening room is the opening room from Resident Evil.
It
this
is
the same
sure
rendering, is. Same rendering as that move, that room. A double staircase on either side, entryway in the front. It's perfect. I mean, it's genuinely perfect.
Yep, same rugs and everything.
Yeah, same rugs, yeah.
Yeah, so, but they're like, oh, this place is pretty creepy. And Stravinsky's like, hey, let's go see if we can find some books, right?
Right. At which point, the hedgehog turns to him. I'm sorry, because I'm going to think about this line every day for the rest of my life. He says, let's go find some books. And the hedgehog says, it's a good thing you're not Little Red Riding Hood. That's it. There's no follow-up. There's no explanation. He just says that.
He says that to Elbow because Elbow's scared, but I still don't know. I say because it seems like there has to be some conjoining word between those two thoughts.
Yeah, but no, there's not.
I don't like your implication of causality between those things. I was going to say, yeah.
So yeah, so also there's a moment here where Stravinsky turns around, but the animator couldn't figure out how to just do turnaround, so he walks as he turns around. It looks like he's like been smoking crack and has to pee or somewhere.
It's moonwalking.
And Stravinsky turns from a narc into the most boring thief in the history of mankind. I mean, you just broke and entered into a house. You're like, where's the books? You already have the gold.
You have a bag of gold.
I mean, find something more. Go at least search for porn or something. What are you doing?
Right. Stravinsky's like, hey, let's check the basement first. And I'm like, that is a terrible, creepy old house strategy. Man, what the fuck are you thinking?
We start at the creepiest place and then it'll be less creepy as we go.
Yeah,
What are you doing, man?
So, okay. So they all headed down to the basement. And sure enough, the whole basement was filled with books. Now, in case you miss the fact that we're looking at a whole basement filled with books. The narrator comes in and says they found a whole basement that was filled with books.
I mean, to be fair, these are some blocky polygons. I also needed the help to realize looking at a basement full of books.
Well, that's the other thing. So the narrator will constantly be telling us what we're looking at. And again, that's because it's based on this audio drama, you know, and they wanted to like, he wanted to keep the words from that or whatever, I guess. But it made no sense in it as we were fucking watching it. So he's like, wow, that's a lot of books. And then all of a sudden the books awaken and they have terrifying little book faces.
Yep. Evil Dead.
Horrifying book faces. Not a single, I know what you're picturing. It's not that. It's a horrible horror book face.
It's the scariest anthropomorphic book we've seen since Salty, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
It's 100% out of Evil Dead. I mean, like, this is Evil Dead. Like, it's the book that starts...
Yeah, no, they all look like the Necronomicon.
Yeah, the Necronomicon, exactly. Yeah.
He's no better than that. It's just a glob-go-gab-glab.
Yeah, you've got to get your multi-syllable things down here, Eli.
Damn it. So, yeah, but, I wrote in my notes, this movie is scripting my nightmares for the next few weeks, and then we get... And then we get the first song. Now, there are several songs, and we're just going to have to go through the lyrics of these things line by line, because there's just too goddamn much here, right?
Yeah.
So the book starts singing, and the very first line is, "Read us and you won't go mad."
Yeah. I feel like if the first thing a talking inanimate object promises you is that you're not insane, it's too late. You know what I'm saying?
Also, 100% out of Evil Dead at that point.
Right, yeah, won't go mad. Yeah.
100% right from the script.
He goes, read us and you will be glad. There's only so many rhymes for mad people. Come on, you got to do something.
Yeah, obviously.
Read us and you will be skilled. Read us and become fulfilled.
So, spoiler alert, the message of this movie is you only need one book and that's the Bible.
Uh-huh.
But you can see how the author got there since he thinks books promise spiritual fulfillment in this song.
Right. Yep.
Yeah, I do think that the tenor of this movie, it really should have leaned into this, and an obvious use of that last rhyme could have been killed instead of fulfilled.
Yes. Like, oh, sure.
Read us and you'll be killed. You know, but I don't know. They didn't lean into it as hard as they wanted.
I was expecting read us or you will be killed. Yeah, I would, but it didn't come. And then we get the chorus, which is, come and read us.
Yeah. Here I was thinking the lyrics might get lazy. I was a little worried.
God, it was so bad. So bad.
Oh, if it was parody, it would be lazy parody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then this is my favorite part, too, because right after this verse, the turtle character,
Klopstock,
starts to come down the stairs, right? So starts working his way down the stairs. But they've clearly only rendered the turtle from the top, because its legs are sort of jammed onto the underside like a bad teleporter accident. So it doesn't look like look like the shell and the legs belong together at all.
Well, also, as at the end of that fucking chorus, Harold goes, the books are singing and dancing, in case nobody noticed.
Yeah, we needed that. That was important.
So we move on to verse two. The books sing, read us and become very smart. Understand every will and part.
These lyrics make my puns at the end of Citation Needed seem like a remembrance of things past.
Every will and part. Man. Like, look, will didn't even have to rhyme with anything, you fucking idiots. What the hell? It carries on. It goes, knowledge, wisdom, and intellect, promise you can all expect.
Not even trying to make sense anymore.
Yoda would be confused by that verb placement. Yeah. And then we get the chorus again. Come in, read us. And in case you didn't get it, we get it a second time. We get a reprise. Come and read us. Jesus, how about read us and you'll have a greater ability to construct a sensible fucking quatrain. How about that?
Yeah. I really think they were going for, you know, let's try to make reading sound really ominous. So we'll just say it really fast over and over like a spell. I think sort of what they were leaning into.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've never been more terrified of the idea of reading a fucking book.
Sure.
I'll give them that.
Yeah.
So that song ends and we owe a fucking sacrifice to the old gods in return. And then... they notice that there's this Scottish guy who's apparently just been standing between the shelves this whole time.
Yeah. He's a Scottish troll.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is Gulbert Bibbercrawl, which is fucking like an AI trying for a cutesy cartoon.
Right, yeah. It's like, what if Douglas Adams named his character after a head injury? Okay, there we go. Gulbert Bibbercrawl. It also, Gulbert is racist against Scottish people, but like, if you'd never met a Scottish person, it's guest racism. It's right. Like, I don't know, they have kilts.
Well, I love to, he's like, well, I'm a troll, as you can clearly see. And I'm like, but we can't see because you're just a guy. You're just Scottish like a guy. Dude. There's nothing troll-like about you.
I mean, maybe your facial hair that leads into your regular hair might be a clue, but that's the only thing we got. Yeah.
Right. Well, and the narrator comes in and says the troll looked very annoyed. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah, no, that's the kind of nuance you're just going to have to come out and tell us. He looked vacated to me.
Also, I've been to Edinburgh and did a meet and greet. That's how all Scottish people look, okay?
True.
They have resting annoyed face, yeah.
Can confirm they are all as happy to see us as
exactly
they were as Gulbert
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, so he comes down the stairs. He has to jump down the steps because the animator doesn't have one leg at a time type skills. And now he, too, is good. They're like, what kind of house is this? He's like, well, let me answer in song. And we're like, oh, God damn it. But first, he's got to do like a sexy dance, I guess.
He does a hip thrust.
It's really sexy. Okay, think about how bad at animation this guy is. So think about how much time he spent sweating in front of his Windows 95 computer being like, it has to be sexier. People really need to understand Gulbert Bibbercrawl the way I understand Gulbert Bibbercrawl.
So Gulbert sings to us. He says, don't you know this lonesome place, the house that legend does embrace? It's always a good sign when you're sneaking a does into the second line to make your meter work. The home where hearsays spin its yarn and shape our way of life.
Feel like he means being gay.
He doesn't. It doesn't mean that. So to be clear, by the way, life is not going to rhyme with like the fourth line of the next stanza or anything. He just tried really hard to come up with a rhyme for yarn and then he gave up. So, okay. It goes on. Yes, the mysterious house revealed. Boundless is the magic here concealed. No, that number of syllables doesn't work within the song.
Yeah.
Secrets locked away the light. The mysterious, oh so serious house of fright.
And this whole time, this weird circle of hair troll around his face is just pelvic thrusting an inch from the camera.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The entire time he is thrusting his hips forward, just doing this dance. Once in a while, there'll be a wiggle side to side, but that's really just to reorient, to thrust forward again.
Yeah. It's just to loosen up the forward thrust. Yeah.
He goes on, he goes, the house in which the darkness reigns and evil thoughts it cultivates.
He means books, people. He's talking about are books.
He does. And by the way, yes, listener, reigns and cultivates were meant to rhyme.
Yep.
He goes on, dark arts you'll learn, expand your mind by the powers you will find.
Right. A reminder, the villain of this is knowledge. They're not going to open them to Comic-Con, right? Right. It's just...
those books kind of look like the next
one. Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, and then he goes on. Yes, this mysterious house revealed, boundless is the magic here concealed. Yes, its secrets are for the wise.
Weird ad.
Yeah, right? The mysterious and delirious house of lies. And then we get that again, but at the end of it, he says the mysterious, quite Wagnerious house of lies.
I tried to, is Wagnerious a word? Because I don't think it's a word.
No, it's not. So he was going for Vagarious.
That's what I thought he was going for.
Right, which is just barely a fucking word. Like, who the fuck? That's a word you learned from Rhyme Zone while you were writing this song.
Or sure searching for Wagnerious, because that's what I found.
So, all right, so yeah, perhaps realizing how quickly the songs are coming at this point, Stravinsky suggests that maybe him and his friends get the fuck out of there, right?
Yeah, it's a good idea.
But now Elbow the Rabbit, who's all nervous about coming in, is like, no, actually, I want to learn the dark arts from these haunted grimoires.
Now that I heard the song. Darker secrets life have concealed. I'm getting in there.
Yeah, yeah.
But first, they give the troll the gold bag, and he explains that he hid it in the garden because the Scarlet Queen gave it to him and he hasn't been able to multiply it, so he hid it so she doesn't find him and beat him.
Yes.
This, podcast listener, pay close attention. This will never pay off in any way whatsoever. It's fucking nuts.
Right. So this is from the Jesus's parable of the talents. Right. The guy gives the lord of the house gives his three slaves each some gold and says, multiply it. And the one slave makes a lot of money and one slave makes a little money and the other one just buries it in the ground. And that's who he is. He's the third slave in the parable of talents.
Oh, right? I see. It's from a book of nonsense. Thank you.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. See, I would have never understood.
Well, it's a German audio drama based on a book of nonsense.
I had no idea.
It was based on an older book.
Thank you. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Translated by a mentally ill PlayStation 1.
I thought her beating him because he didn't make enough gold was just capitalism. Right. I thought that's just how this worked.
I think that's what the parable's about. Yeah. But yeah, so he's like, oh, you know, I bury that gold because I don't want the Scarlet Queen to find out I haven't multiplied it or she'll beat the crap out of me. And Stravinsky's like, what? The Scarlet Queen would never beat the crap out of you. Come on. Scarlet Queen's great. Now, to be clear, in the parable, he is cast into hell for failing to, like, he is, quote, cast out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth for failing to multiply the gold.
So, rough times back then.
Yeah, right.
Just a bunch of books sitting around and be like, should have fucking multiplied that gold. That's your fault. That's on you.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. Gulbert, the Scottish troll that is the third slave in the parable of talents, is the least fucked up thing we are going to meet in this entire video. So we're going to pause and let you bask in this normalcy while you still can. But we'll be back with a whole new level of insanity after the break.
Yeah, we will.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
There he is.
Look at him.
So jealous.
Hey, guys, what's up? Jealous of what?
Your unemployment, Cecil. I bet you just spend all day relaxing, don't you?
Yeah, just taking in the sun.
Surfing the web.
Yeah.
Actually, guys, I started a whole nother podcast and I'm actually
enjoying a carefree life. We get it. We get it.
Yeah, and we are jealous.
So jealous.
Guys, if you feel like you're not putting time into your priorities, have you tried therapy?
Therapy for priorities?
Cecil, therapy is for people who go like, and that's not us.
No. It's for you too. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
So no awkward therapist breakups?
Nope. Just click a button and they'll set you up with your next therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/awful today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/awful.
All right, Cecil, thanks. Man, you're looking so tan.
A lot of time at the beach.
Guys, I live in Chicago.
Chicago Beach.
Yep, sure.
Greg?
Jesus, it's the VHS movie guy again. How did you get in here?
Mail.
What does that mean?
Look, Craig, I've been thinking the light thoughts again.
The light thoughts?
Yeah, you know, the thoughts that are good and pure as opposed to the ones that sleep in darkness.
Sure, sure.
Anyway, I was thinking what this movie needs is musical numbers.
Look, man, I already said I'd put your movie on Amazon.
Don't worry. I've added them in and you can use this instead.
Is this a Betamax?
Yes. Would you like to hear one of the songs?
Please, no. No.
Scarlet Queen, tall and lean, never mean, eat my spleen.
Do you have a jar of honey in your shirt pocket?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're back for more of this shit. We're going to rejoin our heroes in the basement library when suddenly that cello music starts up again. Right? And Stravinsky's like, hey, we should go check that out. And Klopstock's like, look, man, animating all four of us walking around, huge pain in the ass.
I think some of us are going to become not animated anymore.
Yes, we're going to get frozen like
so statues. Amazing. So amazing and probably 100% true.
Yeah. Like, why don't you go off on your own and shit? By the way, the whole time, I have to point this out. Elbow the Rabbit is standing with her arms outstretched like she's trying to air out an armpit stench this whole time.
Yes.
Like a zombie going brains.
Yeah. Terrifying.
I think that he, like, they just got stuck that way and he had no idea how he could freeze them where they were. Yeah.
So they send Stravinsky off to check out the cello sound. So he hops up the stairs with his feet together, walking upstairs is hard. And then we watch him like walk back through all the rooms we've already seen. Because the animator's like, fuck if I'm only going to get the one use out of the opening Resident Evil room.
Yeah, spent exactly, 4 hours in Spider-Man Movie Maker. You guys are going to see these rooms a whole bunch of fucking times. I also, speaking of that, he goes, spiders had spun cobwebs in every corner. And I wrote in my notes, by which I mean you put two kind of sort of cobwebs in this scene.
I have to point this out about the cobwebs because they're so cheaply done. They're all flat, right? There's none of them are at an angle. They're all like copied. Like he just rotated the same web a different way every time. And if you try to look at what they're attached to, it's downright Escherian. Right, like one will be attached to the front leg, but the one behind it will be attached to the forward leg or something. And it's all just fucking nuts. It's the cheapest, laziest fucking shit. Think about how easy it would be to draw your own webs.
That's amazing.
Unreal. But yeah, so he comes into the dining room where he finds an anthropomorphic cello.
Yeah. Oh, that cello. First off, this animation, I don't know. It's a toss up for scariest animation. It's the cello or the books, but I'm thinking it's the cello because the cello has arms that don't make sense.
Right.
So the arms don't belong, right? The cello is whole and then there's arms and the cello genuinely looks terrifying. It looks like a mad animated spoon. It is crazy and weird and a fever dream.
Yeah, it looks like he started to draw a cello and then the curvature of the cello was he was like, oh no, sin. Yes. And so you're like, try to not fuck that cello.
But then the sin gets reintroduced real fast here.
Yes.
Sure does.
Right, because he's like, well, who was playing you cello? And it's like, I was masturbating. And at first,
yep. I was making myself buzz.
Yeah. We all thought we were making a joke about masturbation when it was like, oh, actually, I was just playing with myself. We're like, oh, haha, masturbation. But I'm pretty sure this is an anti-masturbation thing, isn't it?
No fucking There's shot. No it's not an anti-masturbation no. thing. He's like, oh, yes, cello, you must never play yourself. And the cello's like, but it feels so good.
It is.
100%.
Oh, man.
This is also the first time we actually hear the word glob, glow, gab, galab in the movie, right?
I was going to say, like, you know, the cello is sitting there and you're not sure if the cello is sitting on a Symbian or not. You're not quite sure. Mm-hmm. You're like kind of sure. You're like, is it? I don't know. I thought I heard a humming.
It could be.
There's a humming going on. And at a certain point, there's a horsehair bow on the ground that she was just fiddling herself
yeah,
with.
Right.
And it's just laying on the ground. There might have been a couple of drops near it. I couldn't tell.
Yeah, right.
And then as it's sitting there, he almost steps on it. She's like, don't step on my clit! Like really loudly.
really
very strange. Very strange moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, so I can't help but notice that there's the smell of tea around here. Who do you drink tea with? Like, what kind of fucking stupid question is that?
Do you squirt tea?
And she says, oh, yeah, me and the Scottish troll and the glob, glow, glab, glab all drink tea together. So you look forward to that.
Yep.
But just then, he hears like 1,000 voices cry out like Alderaan just exploded or something in his head. Right. I guess that's supposed to be the shouts of his friends asking for help. But
it was very clearly just this guy going and then stopping it and then and then lining up the three tracks. So it becomes an A choral like Hail Mary. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So Stravinsky takes his leave of the cello. He runs down to the basement, but his friends are nowhere to be found. Instead, he sees the nightmare I will have until I die.
There's nothing I can do, podcast listener, to describe the horror of the image of the glob go gab gleb. I want you to imagine you were trying to go to jail, right? You have to go to jail in a Mr. Deeds goes to Washington situation, right? You're going to get $1 billion if you can sneak a character into this children's animation that will get you sent to jail for a considerable amount of time. What you would put into this is less offensive and disturbing than the gob go glab glam.
I had him down as a pink naked man Jabba. Right?
What a great description. Sure. That is so perfect.
Yeah. If Jabba the Hutt, who's that guy with the dog, the British cartoon where he's like, "Ooh, it's me and my dog and we go to the moon and have cheese." Do you know what I'm talking about?
If you don't know the British cartoon, then I'm not going to know any lines.
Okay. Well, it is if Jabba the Hutt.
I know who you're talking about. Is it a claymation? It's a claymation, right? I don't know the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's if Jabba the Hutt had the man from that claymation growing out of the top of his head. That's what it is.
It's so awful and terrible. Also, this is where we get where we start.
Wallace and Gromit.
Okay.
Wallace and Gromit. Right. Yes. Thank you.
Yep.
Sorry, I had to look it up. I looked up British dog claymation.
And there you go. So, bam. Boom.
And it came up.
Nailed it. And so this is also where the fat shaming starts, right?
Oh,
so the narrator comes up and is like, and then they saw the glob go glab glab, which is a fat fucking piece of shit that should be ashamed
you,
of itself. So
did
ugly.
The glob go glab glab fuck the narrator's wife? Because it sounds like the glob go glab glab fuck the narrator's wife.
It's so mean.
A lot. The fat, shitty, ugly, fucking grotesque body squirms like a fat piece of shit out of this. It's so awful. It's so mean.
The tone of his narration changes, right? He goes from like storybook to this motherfucking garbage. He hits a pop it's filter so with mean. His mouth because of how hard he hates the glob go glab.
It's so mean. Brutal.
And then, so he comes out of one book and then he waddles over and he sits on another book's face. We get Cecil's best worst and gets sucked back into the book.
I'll tell you what, those faces, they are working overtime with that suckage too. Let me tell you.
This is like, you ever click on a porn and you're like, oh, that's not for me. This is what this experience is like. But you can't click away and it's for children.
If you turn it on, you're like, whoa, that's poo. And then you're like, no. And then you shut it off real fast.
Right.
You're like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. Right. But someone stops your hand and they're like, no, it's children's programming.
No.
So he blobs his way back out of that book and he notices Stravinsky, right? So he's like, oh, hey, what's up, little mole? And he's and the mole, for his part, doesn't just scream, right?
Scream and scream and scream until his mouth fills with the blood from his shattered throat and his rendered eyes run down his cheeks. Yeah, no, he doesn't respond properly to the glob glob glob.
So he watches all of this and he's like, so what the fuck are you? And the glob glob glab glab decides to tell us by singing us the third song, right? Now, Eli watched this first and he transcribed all the lyrics so that we could make notes and I could read along the lyrics and everything. Mm-hmm. So I get to this one and I just see Eli's notes say, fuck you, I'm not writing the lyrics to this. And I'm like, well, damn it, Eli, I'll write the lyrics to this one. So I started to write it out and then I saw why.
Yep. You sure just, fucking word.
Yeah.
So here's one of the lines as offered by the closed captioning. The shrubble double wabble gabble flibby blobby blab.
Yeah.
It's just that for like 2.5 fucking minutes.
Imagine a flesh turd scatting. That's basically what you have.
Yeah. And let me assure you, podcast listener, there is no doubt in my mind that No Illusions was like, I'll fucking transcribe these lyrics. Eli's a pussy. And then he was like, you know what? No, I already had one heart attack. I don't know how long on this earth. The recording's on Friday.
So I want to point out, too, that this song itself is it's an internet thing, right? So if you search for glab go glab glab, you will find remixes of this song that people have turned into techno and things. And I encourage you to do it because it is actually really funny to see how somebody has reimagined this, 1980s technology video and It's very, very, it's very amazing. But this is an internet thing. This is one of those like, oh, it's a meme or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's legendarily bad. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by the way, so this, the nonsense word fucking song, he sings all of the lyrics twice. I'm like, you lazy motherfucker. You're making this shit up as you go. Make up two different shits. I don't
make up different scrubble bubbles.
Right.
You can say anything you want. They don't rhyme. They don't match in meter. It's scribble gabble fuckle.
Yes. Right. Exactly that right it. There. You just did the work that he was too lazy to do as part of the end of your joke.
Yeah. He also... The only discernible English words in this song are "I am the yeast of the mind."
Yes, yes. Yeah, of thoughts and mind. Yeah,
what?
That's
it.
Yeah, that's the line. Yeah.
He will later say, "Just like yeast passes on its flavor," which, by the way, is kind of what yeast does, but absolutely not what, yeast, what yeast does.
Yeah. It's how it excretes and then it dies. Yeah, for
look,
sure.
I'm not sure of a lot of things, but I am sure that the guy who single-handedly made this movie thinks yeast is a spice.
He said he was British. That tracks.
Mother, would you bring down another yeast packet? I'm afraid I'm feeling in need of a little more yeast on my lasagna tonight. Like, that is the exact words he said before he murdered his family and wore them as hats.
So the Glab-Go-Glab-Glab finishes his song. And he's like, see, the point of that was, and I'm like, yeah, please tell me what the fucking point of double wobble gabble flibby blobby blab was. He says, the point is that I really love books. I just devour them. I don't actually eat them, though. I just consume their ideas. And Stravinsky says, well, you know, not all books are good for you. And we're like,
dun, dun, dun.
Fucking what? Is this an anti-book movie?
Fuck yeah, it is.
It fucking is.
Yes, it is. The fucking whole time, like, I'm just going like, please tell me this is an anti-book movie. It will be, though. That is the fucking moral of the story.
Yeah. Yeah. Somewhere there is a Moms for Liberty fiddling her cello to this.
Yes. Absolutely. No question.
100%.
And I want to be even clearer that this is not like a, well, here are the books we think are dangerous, right? Don't show hardcore porn to your three-year-old. It is a position of... not so sure about books as a concept.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're exactly right. Books in themselves are the bad thing in this because there is no distinction. There's only one distinction between one book and all the rest of the books.
Exactly. So yeah. So, but he finishes up all of this. They have their argument about books. And then Stravinsky's like, oh, also, by the way, my friends were screaming for help.
Have you seen that? Oh, sorry. I don't know why I let you get a whole music number in before I
musical interlude. Thank you. Thank you for the musical interlude. But my friends are in terror right now.
He goes, well, maybe they've been kidnapped by the Rat King. And I'm like, man, we are halfway through this shit. It is too late to introduce a fucking Rat King
also
into it.
German audio drama from the 1980s. I'm going to need y'all not to have a Rat King, and you know why.
Oh, yeah. No. Yes.
Okay. Yes.
And when they show the Rat King later, you 100% know why.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. I'm going to turn around, and if the Germans could put all their rat villains on the desk, no one's held responsible.
I'm going to need you to take the fader on that guy's nose down quite a bit. Okay?
Quite a bit. Yeah, I'm going to need him to be a totally different animal, actually. German audio drama from the 1980s.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. So, but Glob thinks, he says, like, the Rat King, he's just a myth. Now, the Rat King will be a stand-in for Satan in this movie and or the Jews.
Wait,
like,
what? I didn't get that. It was too subtle.
Yeah. So just then, Stravinsky notices his friends. His friends have been in the room the whole time. In his defense, if you're in a room with the fucking glob glow glab glab, you're going to be looking at that motherfucker too, right?
Yeah, it's all you're looking at too. But it is a funny moment, right? Because he's been quote unquote looking for his friends, but then the camera pans 2 inches to the left and he's like, oh, they're there.
Yes.
Yeah, they could have startled him. Yeah, they were that close to him. Yeah.
Right. And of course, they're frozen because... it's really hard to animate 4 goddamn
animation
characters.
Is plus, fucking
now we
hard.
Got the glow gab glab glab to do.
Stupid rabbit has to hop everywhere. He's frozen, okay? He's fucking frozen.
So I love too, Stravinsky's supposed to try to wake him up, right? So he jumps on the turtle once and he yells at the rabbit and he goes, "What else can I do?" And I'm like, inside this dude's animation abilities, I guess, yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
He might be able to drag you to the door in a few minutes. Give him a few seconds. Yeah, I don't know.
But Stravinsky realizes that the only person that can help him here is the Scarlet Queen. So he's going to sing a song about the Scarlet Queen for us.
And this is one of those things that reinforces, and you know, like, again, I'm going to get a little serious here for a second, but this is one of those things that reinforces the helplessness of Christianity, how you can't do anything because you're a fat piece of shit, glob, go, glab, glab, or whatever, right. And you have to ask somebody else to do something else for you. It's never do something for yourself. It's always find some intercessory agent to do the thing for you.
Right. It's like, go to our thing that you pay us money for and we will do it for you. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Several characters throughout the rest of the movie will be like, well, shouldn't we do something? And he's like, no, only Scarlet Queen.
Right.
Also, Noah's about to read you these lyrics, but before he does, I need you to understand that they are sung by a grown man doing a child mole's voice. So, you know, unless you've been at the bottom of the pit in that guy's house in fucking Silence of the Lambs, you probably haven't experienced what it's like to listen to this song. It's Sonic Queen.
Yes.
It's terrifying.
Yeah,
right.
It's absolutely terrifying. And it's as off key as that boy in About a Boy singing the end song.
Yeah.
When he's singing the end song, he comes out and he starts playing. It's that off key. It is, it's shot. And like the weird thing is most of the other songs, they're terrible, but they're at least sung somewhat. This one is so off key. It's horrifying. It is dissonant and it creeps you out.
Mm-hmm.
I genuinely think the reason this song sounds as bad as it is, and this is my hot take and I stand by it, is that the guy who sang it couldn't stop crying over the song he wrote about the Scarlet Queen. And this is the best he could do.
So here are the lyrics. Please hear us, the Scarlet Queen. I guess she gets the just in her name all the time, right? That's
yeah,
her first
right.
name.
Yeah, sure.
Bring hope, let your love be seen. And I wrote in my notes at this point, wow, not only can he not hit these notes, he also can't carry this tune. You know our need, we are lost and alone.
Right. I wrote in my notes, if Scarlet Queen turns out to be drag Jesus, I owe this movie a huge apology. Huge.
He says, send us help from your royal throne. And I feel like at this point, because obviously Scarlet Queen is supposed to be Jesus or the Pope or something, or whatever. I feel like the people who would want this video to exist would also think this part was heretical, right? Jesus ain't no queen, right?
Right? Yeah, yeah, no, I think exactly. You're right. I think you're right.
He goes on, you're my strength. I will have no fear. Well, I'm weak. I can know you're near. Oh, my king, the great Elohim.
I'm sorry. Wait, did we just change subjects to the Christian God?
Yes.
Right. Yes, wait. You did. Pull the fast one.
Well, no, we have to be reminded here that the Scarlet Queen is only God's representative. She's not God. She's like a pope or something, like, yeah, a lady right. pope or something.
Right.
And it wraps up with, send us help through the Scarlet Queen.
Yeah, the Christian God is friends with the Scarlet Queen.
Yes.
Again, I just want to remind podcast listeners that at this point, I still thought this was like deep lore from C.S. Lewis. So at this point, I got onto ChatGPT and I was like, who is the Scarlet Queen in C.S. Lewis? And ChatGPT was like, you got to stop texting me when you're high, man. Like, I don't know any of the words you just said. Are you okay? Are you okay?
Yeah. ChatGPT is sending you numbers for helplines.
Right. Yeah, like, exactly.
Sorry, you feel like you're probably out of this.
So, all right. So, but he wraps up the song and then we cut over to Glab Go Gab Glab and he's like, so did the song work or what? Right?
Yeah, 100% worked. Yeah, sure.
Well, it's going to have, yeah. But Stravinsky's like, he tells us the moral of the story. He's like, well, you know, this is why it's so important that you be careful what you read, because you could read some books and they could turn you into a frozen statue where you would be threatened by a giant man turd. Right?
Right. And he's like, wait, sorry, that's why your song might not have worked. So what animals can you turn into?
What terrifying flesh-colored animals can right. you turn into?
Right. Yeah. He goes like, he's like, don't blame the books. I read them all the time and I never froze into a statue or anything like that. I can, in fact, turn into all these different shapes. And we're like, what the fuck does that have to do with the first part of your statement, man. Yeah. So he morphs into an eagle. And by the way, this animation is so fucking cheap and shitty that he can't actually go from glob go glab glab to eagle. He has to turn it, like he has to morph into a tiny little ball that then morphs into an eagle.
Yeah.
The cheap bullshit.
Terrifying flesh eagle, of course. Right. Yes.
Right. You know what it reminds me of, Cecil? You remember Muscle Men, but the muscle was like an acronym. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's turning into different Muscle Men. But while he's trying to turn into a pink elephant with eagle wings, that's what they say, right? They say he's a pinky, that those are not eagle wings, right? Those are angel wings, and all the stuff is pink. So that's a meaningless modifier. But he gets too big and twisty while he's doing that. And this causes him to break through the ceiling of the basement.
Yeah. The narrator pops in here and he's like, he pulled his body through the gaping hole. And I was like, dude, just put silly putty up your butt. You didn't have to make a whole fucking movie when you could have just put a silly putty up your butt.
Yes.
It's a very suspicious line. Like I put it in my notes. I was like, Gape, what are we talking about here, bro? We got somebody fiddling their own cello. You got you stuffing stuff up gaping holes. I am sorry, man.
No question. A mother walked in and he was like, I was practicing for the Gap Club.
Well, also, because like, there's no other way that this makes any fucking sense. Why would this conversation suddenly move from the basement into the living room? Right? Because they then crawl through the hole into the fucking living room, and now they're in there. Yeah. But as they're doing this, Glob is defending reading books as a good pastime, and Stravinsky is explaining that if you don't, you know, watch out what you read, you'll get giant and book fat, and you'll explode.
Right.
Which is, again,
grotesque.
The moral of this story.
Right, is that you might turn into an elephant angel wing and burst through your living room floor.
If you read too much, yes. All right, well, this will mark, I think, the first time that I've ever planted the act break in the middle of a single scene, but desperate times call for desperate measures, so we're going to pause here. But first, let me give act fucking Q to 12 the hard sell. What the fuck did I just see? Will the images ever fade from my conscious vision? Why didn't we just stop doing animation altogether when we saw it could go this wrong? Find out the answers to these questions and more when we return for the vagarious conclusion of Stravinsky and the Mystery House.
Scarlet Queen.
Okay, Cecil, come on.
Dude, what? You said there was another ad.
Yes, but this is one that I think you really need.
I do?
Yeah, big time. You know how you're always saying like, oh, I didn't get that text, or I'm so sorry, I missed your call.
I never say those things.
You say it with your eyes and your shy smile. Well, what if I told you you could say goodbye to lousy service for just $15 a month with Mint Mobile?
What's Mint Mobile?
Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network.
I don't know, Eli. I like my phone. Do I have to change my number?
Nope. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for just $15 a month.
But have you actually tried it?
I sure have. I switched my whole family over when they first became a sponsor, and I get the same great wireless service for a fraction of what I was paying Big Wireless.
All right, Eli, I'm sold. Where do I sign up?
To get this new customer offer and to get your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/GAM. That's mintmobile.com/GAM. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/GAM. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on a first 3-month plan only. Speed slow above 40 gigabytes on an unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Thanks.
Now we can finally set up that brunch date.
I mean, we can.
Nice.
Not what I said, man.
Hey, David.
Oh, hey, Mitchell. What's up?
So, first of all, I want to thank you for hiring me to work on your movie.
It's a passion project.
Sure. Yeah, so I was hoping we could discuss your notes on the animation for The Scarlet Queen.
Sure, Mitchell. What's the question?
Right. Okay, so you sketched out a basic character model here, but then, so you also gave me like 6 pages of sketches for her hands, along with this note that says, tiny, ever so tiny that were they to grip you, you'd look unimaginably huge.
Unimaginably huge. Yeah, what's the question?
Right, so are you talking about your dick there, man?
What? Mitchell, no. What a vile thought. She has the daintiest of fey hands because she's a lady of the court. Her tiny hand and mine would make me her strong and powerful prince of the Lord, and she my queen.
Honestly, I would have rather you were just talking about your dick.
Why do people keep saying that to me?
And we're back for still more of the ship. When we last left off, Stravinsky was chatting with the unholy offspring of a turd in a tumor.
I don't know which character you're referring to. No, that's all of the unions.
So, but then that conversation, though, is going to get cut short by Gulbert, the Scottish troll, who bounds in to warn them that the Scarlet Queen is on her way.
Now, to be clear, every other character in the movie except Stravinsky will be like, oh, I'm afraid of the Scarlet Queen. And he will just gaslight them the entire time. He'll be like, no, she's great. And the troll will be like, well, I'm convinced she's going to do me physical harm. And Stravinsky is like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's very weird.
Yep.
Don't make me bury you in the fucking garden, if you know what I mean.
I can't make you multiply. So, yeah. But before we can get to all of that, the Gulbert runs in and he's like, ah, the Scarlet Queen's coming. And then he notices that the hole in the floor where the glob gab glab glab or whatever just popped through. Right. And we have to spend like, I don't know, a solid 2.5 fucking minutes on him being angry about that.
Right. Him bitching out the glob go glab glab like a bad Craigslist roommate. Just like, oh, we have a chore wheel and your chore this week was not bursting through the floor like silly putty going up the creator of this animation's ass. So you have to pay for that.
And it's even worse than a Craigslist ad because it's a guy who's squatting in this house. I don't know if you remember the origin story of this Scottish guy. He just sort of showed up one day and started couch surfing. And they never, like, the person who owns the house is a very soft-spoken, plays with herself a lot cello. So she hasn't really kicked him out yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, she hasn't gotten around to being like, hey,
the masturbating cello upstairs.
Can you go? I'm very busy. I got my OnlyFans account. I've got to work here, so...
Well, so that's what I wrote in my notes. Like, okay, obviously Eli's the troll, he's the cello, and I'm the glob, glob, glab, glab, and I'm not comfortable with that at all. Okay.
Yep. No, that's fair. That's fair.
Oh, also, while the troll's getting mad at him, he fat shames him too. He's like, you know, the problem is that you're a fat, 100%. Fatty, fat is the problem.
Right? Narrator pops in, you get him, Gulbert, fucking piece of shit. So, fuck my wife, destroy my family. To live above the garage.
But then the scene is like, sorry, we don't know how segues work. Can you just start again being freaked out about the Scarlet Queen? Can we go back to that?
Yeah, can you do a couple of dances? Maybe thrust your pelvis at the camera a few times? Yeah.
But he says like, oh yeah, right. No, the Scarlet Queen's coming. Glob is also worried about the Scarlet Queen.
Yeah. And keep in mind that all of this has been very cartoony at this point. So this is how the conversation goes. Oh, no, I'm afraid the Scarlet Queen will beat me. Oh, Glob is also afraid of him. And then Glob goes, yeah, she's the servant of the Christian God. And I've been told I have to choose him or the Rat King. And I was like, whoa, right. Different stakes.
Well, yes.
Yeah, yes. Man, out of left field. And also, he just, like in the previous scene, denied that the Rat King even existed.
Right.
And you're just like, can we at least be a little consistent? The glob go glab glab's form is more consistent than the plot so far.
Yeah.
But Glob's like, you know, I just don't want to take sides in a holy war. I would just like to read books and know more things. And this movie is like, see that piece of fat fucking shit.
This is what books will do you. They make you a coward in the battle against God and the Jews. I mean, the Rat King.
The rats. Did I say Jews?
The mole is like, no, you just have to obey her and her overlord. You guys are the weird ones.
Yeah.
And she won't beat you unless you don't believe. Come on, man.
Right. Yeah. She's not going to beat you if you don't deserve to be beaten. Yeah.
You fat piece of shit.
It's real German. Can I say it's real German? It's got real fucking, what are those famous stories? Hans brothers, the Guben brothers, the fucking, whatever those stories are that Cinderella and shit are based on. It's got real those vibes.
Yeah. So Stravinsky, he tells him that the Scarlet Queen is just swell, and he tells him all about the joy of forgiveness, but he does it in song. Yes, it's time for another song.
Aww.
Okay, before we get to the lyrics, it's very important that I point out that in this clumsily animated click and point animation, for some reason, this guy managed to animate an entire solo ballet for the beaver character during this song.
The mole,
As he never managed to get this thing up or down a set of stairs, I am baffled how this sequence happened.
So there's a lot of pirouettes.
Yeah, he hired it out on Thumbtack.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So he goes, she is patient and very kind. And I'm like, oh God, of all the voices to give a second song to.
Right?
Grants your peace in your soul and mind. When you need, she will be by your side. Trust.
Signed.
Trust in her as your faithful guide.
Guide.
Faithful guide.
Right. Yeah, getting all the money's worth out of that pirouette animation. It carries on. She is love, full of grace and light. Give your heart and become her child.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Someone should tell Christians how creepy their mythology sounds when it's applied to any other fantasy setting except their god.
It's weird that they don't hear it. Yeah. And by the way, yes, that was child to rhyme with light, to be clear. There's not a lot of words actually that rhyme with light. So
I think it's like silver and orange. You can't really find one.
And this song says, are you sick? She's your hope. She's your cure.
I'll still take the COVID vaccine.
That's right. heals your life and will make you pure.
I've never been so certain a mole is going to do a human sacrifice.
It sounds like she's going to set me on fire.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Heal your life. It will make you. Honestly, if it was an evil queen that purified them with fire, this entire thing would have been worth it, right?
Yeah. Oh, the Scarlet Queen shows up and it's just Daenerys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but then suddenly the Scarlet Queen appears. She was behind him the whole time he was singing.
I laughed for so long when she's just standing there.
Amazing.
Because he's singing a whole song of kissing her ass. But keep in mind, he was doing pirouettes the whole fucking time. He knew she was back there. That's why the song was like that. Right? Yeah.
She's super cool. Swoosh my head before.
And won't be behind.
Right behind you. Doing the head gesture. It's like when there's a weird person and I'm trying to warn any of us at a convention, like, I'm pointing with my forehead. Look where I'm pointing with my forehead. Oh, no. They're on you.
So, yeah. So she comes in. The Scarlet Queen comes in. This is the weird chick with the tiny little hand buds from before, right, that we did the sketch on. This is also where the cello comes hopping into the scene. And they have this weird moment where we learn that that used to be the Scarlet Queen's cello, but the cello thought she could do better on her own, so she rejected Jesus.
Yeah, no, she was actually wooed away, so the Rat King taught her how to fiddle herself.
Yes.
And then she left the Scarlet Queen, and that feels a lot like a Scarlet Queen problem. Like, if you're not fiddling right, and the fiddle has to go out and do its own fiddling, maybe you should probably do fiddling better. Maybe.
Just fiddle better. Fiddle better, yeah.
Maybe play the fiddle with your mouth every now and then, I'm just saying. Yeah.
Maybe eat the fiddle's ass once in a while.
Thank you.
So, yeah, but the cello rejected the queen, just like we reject Christ, y'all. And then we go on about this for like 2.5 minutes. But finally, the queen's like, anyway, enough about my old cello. What was the plot here now? This is the second time, by the way, that someone has come in as Stravinsky has completely forgotten about his friends in danger and just been like, oh, tell me a little about your backstory. Right?
That's cool. That's cool. Oh, this is fun. If you could bring one book, oh, shit, my friends are frozen. Right. Yes. My friends are in some kind of curse. Oh,
so, yeah, But he tells her that he needs help unfreezing his friends. So we all go down to the basement together, right?
I'm so fucking excited. I'm like hyperventilating at what I know you're about to have to describe. That's how excited I am.
Well, it's funny because the first thing I wrote as we go into this scene is, I'm willing to bet that if we had this animator's password, we could see the Scarlet Queen do all kinds of kinky shit. And then we get this scene, right?
We sure do.
So the Scarlet Queen looks at him and she goes, oh, it looks like they're too deeply immersed in these books. Yes.
Yeah.
This is our first confirmation that, yes, indeed, it has been an anti-reading movie this entire fucking time.
Because the Rat King enchants the books. I was like, okay, J.K. Rowling's Twitter.
Yeah, right. Right. Does the Rat King control the media, does he? It's, oh, my fucking God. But yeah, she's like, oh, if I've gotten here any later, then your friends would have turned into glob gab glob glabs. So apparently books make you fat too. They make you fat and stupid.
Giant fat piece of shit.
Yes. And to be clear, fucking Strawinski is like, wait, so the glob glob glab used to be an elf and he was kind? And he's like, yes. Anyways, fuck him. Let's get on to your friends.
Yeah. Also, by the way, she's carrying this book around and I have to do this because her hands are so inhumanly small, and he can't actually like separate the fingers. He doesn't know how to do that with his animation, so her hands just stuck to the side of the book like those little sticky slap hands you used to get out of vending machines.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm bringing all the cheap 80 toys references for Cecil today.
Yeah.
This is the grabber hand.
Wacky walkers. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, they weren't wacky wall walkers, but they were related to wacky wall walkers. Made out of the same shit. Yeah. So, but yeah, this is the actual exchange they have about the glob. When she starts talking about how reading can turn you fat, she says, and I quote, he lost his slender form and became what he is today, big and fat and slow. And Stravinsky says, how awful. And she says, it is. And he's standing right fucking there the whole time.
When it flash cuts over and the glob go glab glab is standing an inch from their conversation, I paused the movie to laugh for 6 full minutes. Because he's even got the like,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a part where the glob go glab glab pulls out his phone and just immediately joins Planet Fitness. Like, fuck this. I'm done with this.
Just say fitbod.me, please.
You guys are so...
Yeah. Sorry, you're absolutely right. Yeah, fitbod.
This is why they can't afford a .com, Cecil, because assholes like you won't give out the website.
So, yeah.
Believe in you, fitbod.me/fun. .geocities.
So then, okay. And then just when you thought, like, well, surely we've got the weirdest, goddamn, most fucked up, most make funnable moment out of this movie already, the Scarlet Queen decides to beat off his friends. Now,
yep.
You probably think that I'm exaggerating.
Nope.
But this is the actual goddamn line from the narrator during this part of the movie.
This is the yikesiest part of the whole movie.
Yes, right. The narrator says, the Scarlet Queen began to lovingly stroke each of the three friends for a long time. And while she's doing that, she's rubbing the rabbit's ears like a cock.
Like a cock. Like a cock.
There's no way to look at that and not think of her jerking off those ears.
Look, I know I am going to die with the guy who made this movie's hands wrapped around my throat. That's fine. I've resigned myself to it. But what I won't take back is that she's jerking off these animals. Okay?
100%.
Nobody who has seen a jerking off go on or has even read a good description of it would think this is anything but jerking off.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't mistake this for anything. It clearly looks like she misses her cello.
Yeah,
that's right. What it looks like. It looks like her and her cello had a deep bond and she is missing that bond.
Well, and the cello's right here too. So she's probably just trying to make the cello jealous, right?
Maybe the cello likes to watch. Yeah.
Well, that's possible. Be a Jerry Falwell situation.
They do end up together at the end. So there we go.
They do.
Also, we have to point out this horrifying fucking detail because as she's stroking off all the animals, one of them's a hedgehog. The narrator comes in and says, Harold the hedgehog spikes made her hands bleed, but she kept stroking anyway.
Okay.
We're going on to the dark web for this.
That is really dedicated. Really dedicated.
I need this kid to get sent to the principal. I don't know how old he is, but I need him to get like a school counselor appointment.
So, yeah. And then so she finishes stroking off all of the animals and then she taps each of the books and she turns them to ash. So her magic power is book burning.
Book burning. And book, it totally book destruction.
Is. Yeah. And bad books, we all know, turn into rats, which is yes. what happens here. She burns the books. They immediately turn to rats. And then they go across Europe and poison wells. I think right. is what exactly. they did right afterwards.
So yeah. Honestly, the animation on these rats is fucking insane because the rats start running away and it is impossible to tell which items they will be in front of and behind as they walk past them. You know, I was making bets with myself. Like, well, they'll certainly be in front of the chair. No, okay, all no. right then.
No.
So, and then the rats run away and the Scarlet Queen turns to Glob, the cello, and Gulbert and says, like, see, satanic house you guys have been staying in. Satan house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, this is the Evil Dead house, guys. Look at yeah. the books. They're yes, all
obviously
mean now.
It's the Evil Dead. So, and just then, they notice that the Rat King has been hiding in the wardrobe, jerking off to this the whole time.
He's literally been watching from inside yeah. the closet, like yeah. Jerry Falwell Jr. Yeah. Literally like Jerry Falwell Jr.
And he's got like a giant Rita Hayworth hole in the wall right, from Shawshank yeah. Redemption mm-hmm, that he yeah. has. He's dug through the wall, and this is the most caricatured rat I've ever seen in my entire, like, this is 100% like, just like J.K. Rowling made her coin loving little goblins yeah, into right, something. Right. Yeah. This is 100% modeled after like bad Jewish, like, cartoonist art that they had during yes. the Nazi Holocaust. That's what it looks
yes.
like.
Yes.
Mm. Absolutely. I was surprised it didn't have the voice, like Eli doing Moishe's voice, right?
No, no question that was his first take, and Amazon was like, hey, so we're super excited to take on your animation. It is technically illegal right now, so we do need you to do the Rat King's one.
There's a huge part of me that wants him to sing this song like that, and then there's a part of me that's like, you'll be canceled immediately if he does that.
Yes, I am the king of the Red Book. I'm the greatest force of all. Hey, Patreon
oh,
extra.
No.
We can
oh,
put it up.
No. But what they Yikes. Did instead was they used the only African-American voice actor in the entire fucking movie. Right?
Oh, like, you are right.
It didn't
Holy
exactly
shit.
Make it better. They just made it different is all.
Oh, this we is, made it differently worse. That's
yes,
all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And so now the Rat King is going to sing us a song about how someday he's going to kill God, right?
Oof.
So here once again, I've got the lyrics for you. Yes, I am the king of the rat folk. I am the greatest force of all. Okay, back off a little bit, man. Where the this is the actual line. Where the realm in lies with my dark cloak. Good luck diagramming that attempt at a sentence.
Because of the folk.
To yeah. be clear, he's not wearing a cloak, dark or otherwise. I just feel like that needs to be pointed out. Anyway, bring despair and we'll make you fall.
Oof. Yeah. And then they pan to the room and all the books are doing the same dance they were doing earlier with the glob, go, glab, glab. And when they were asking when they were going to be read earlier, when they're mm-hmm. readers, and they're doing that earlier. Now they're still dancing, but now they have mean Goomba eyebrows.
Yeah.
They have like angry bird Goomba, eyebrows yeah. now. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So then we get our chorus. Tremble in fear, my child. Follow me into everlasting light. I am your fiercest foe. Oh, how frightful, terrifying is the Rat King's evil might.
Okay, that's too many syllables. All right, yeah. I'm not even a poet, and I know that's bad, okay?
Does it work?
And this voice actor really tries. He's like, oh, how frightful, terrifying is the Rat King's evil might. Yes.
He carries that. He goes, for no soul ever resists me. And I'm like, fucking elbow Harold and Klopstock just resisted you, dude. Come on. Then he says, and my regime is fierce and grim. I would love to know what that guy thinks regime means.
I mean, Israel. He means Israel.
Jesus Christ.
I will spread my kingdom of terror and destroy great Elohim. I feel like his enemies don't call him great. Anyway.
Yeah.
And once again, tremble and fear, my child. Follow me in everlasting light. I am your fiercest foe. Oh, how frightfully terrifying is the Rat King's evil might.
And this dance is very sexual oh, in yes, this section. I mean, you thought yeah. Gub Club the fucking troll was thrusting. The Rat King is like twerking. He's got a pull between his cheeks. It is intense.
Well, and he's surrounded by books, so it has a very book cocky feel to it, right? Thank you. Thank you. I was so proud of that. I was so proud of that season. I just wanted to hang up.
Captain, my
fucking...
captain. Oh, I'm on my chair. I'm on my chair. So good. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. So good.
I also want to point out an amazing thing in the notes here. Eli wrote, this looks very sexual. Cecil wrote, it looks like he's taking a dump. Those are responses to the same stimulus, people.
It is the same. We both watched the same thing.
We saw the same thing. Yeah, exactly. But honest, I mean, I genuinely mean this from my heart. If the Rat King had just vividly jerked off onto the faces of these books in a circle, it would be the third most horrifying thing in the movie.
Yes. Oh,
right? Man. If these books were just like, spatter me in your cum, Rat King, I would have been like, yeah, it's better than when the glib go glab galab turned into an elephant.
No, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, so the Rat King leaves.
We should make a children's movie.
We should.
It looks really easy, actually.
Yeah, I think we're good at this. I think we're good at this. It's a good brainstorming session.
So the Rat King leaves, and the narrator starts talking shit. You know, he's like, oh, the Rat King left like a fucking whimpering, whining asshole. Like,
yeah.
Pussy is what he was. And then Stravinsky sucks up to the Scarlet Queen some more, right? He turns and he's like, Scarlet Queen, you're so awesome, and your hands are so sexy.
Tiny. So tiny.
They're bleeding, but they're sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
They're
covered in blood.
So, yeah. So, also, the Scarlet Queen says, please be more careful in future.
She right? does say that.
Yeah, I know that's just a case of the scriptwriter wrote it wrong, and the voice actor was like, he told me to just read these words and fuck him. I'm not adding extra definite articles on his behalf. I'm not getting writing credits. So, but then the Scarlet Queen basically says, well, you know, now is the time when we almost decide whether we shall serve the Lord or the Rat King. And we're all like, fucking what, man? The Scarlet Queen's like, don't be like my old cello. And again, the cello is right. Right there.
You hate to see
it's
it.
Right there.
My wife is friends with several lesbian couples who used to date each other. And the Scarlet Queen is worse. That's what I'm saying right now.
So, yeah. And then Glob turns to her and she's like, and he's like, hey, I'm so sorry for being a fat piece of shit all the time. And she's like, you will not be forgiven or have any resolution to your character.
She ignores him.
She says,
please forgive me in this children's show. And she's like, bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Yeah.
So, and then Gulpert takes some money and runs, right?
Yeah.
And like, Gulpert couldn't decide who to serve, so he just took his bag of gold and hauled ass. The end of Gulbert's story.
He's Scottish. I get it.
This Scott left faster than the Scots left our Q&A. He left faster than that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. But then they all go outside. The Scarlet Queen decides to forgive her cello, right? And they're gonna reunite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So the Scarlet Queen floats away because walking is really hard to animate. It's so much easier.
Floating is awesome.
Yeah.
Floating works great.
Why didn't I make them all birds?
Right.
Fuck.
Yes. Yeah. So, and she takes Joe. Now, at this point in the movie, I have to say this. I paused because like I have a certain like if I've gone this many minutes without a break, I take a break, you know, kind of a clock going when I'm doing these movies. I paused this movie at this point because my clock went off. I looked and there were, minus the credits, 34 seconds left in the movie. And I had to convince myself not to take a break.
I don't know that I can.
That's like, that's a great excuse to not be watching this for a minute. But so, and by the way, he says, the narrator, as they're floating away, the narrator says the cello had, quote, returned to its master.
Yeah, man. That's creepy as fuck.
So, okay. But Stravinsky sure is happy that everything worked out okay for everybody except for Glob, who can fuck himself fat.
Fuck you, Glob, you fat piece of
fat,
family home wrecking piece of shit.
Fucking appendix turd.
You think I can't hear you make her come through the walls, you goddamn asshole? So, I'll kill you both and then myself. I'm the narrator of the movie.
But yeah, so everybody sure is happy the Scarlet Queen saved them from reading books. And then that night, we see Stravinsky laying in bed, deciding to devote his life to living for the glory of the great Elohim. That's the end of the movie. That's what the narrator says is happening. So,
The kid commits to being even more boring. Great.
Right.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and also, by the way, so they back away at this point and we see like a cross section of his whole little mole house. And there has been so goddamn much effort put into this little fucking mole house that we're going to see for 1 second at the end. Though he's trying to say, see, there are some things I worked hard on, just not the glob, 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 glob.
Just one dance and this house. That's what I worked hard on.
You know, it's like when you start a project and you're like, oh no, there's got to be a column for everything in this sheet, and then you forget a bunch of people for booking. It's like that. People get it at home.
So exactly like that. Understand. This movie is exactly as well done as your spreadsheets. So, so then we get the credits. This is where I first learned that this was based on a German audio drama from 1982, and so much shit suddenly made sense.
Did you find it? Did you go on YouTube and find it?
Oh, God, no.
There's no English version that I could find, but there is the German version, and you can hear the crazy. It's like, Wustan Heiger Scarlet Queen and unter Hot King and unter Hot King of Juden Jeidelhofen and Zion. Highly recommend.
All right. Maybe we
get for our German listeners, Taru, get out there.
German,
find.
Taru is
tell
not
me.
German.
Taru is right. not German.
So, pretty sure she's German.
Also, nope. I also have to point out, under the thanks, it's got like, you know, thanks to all the people, whatever. It has Jesus Christ. He's first billed and gets a bigger
font. First billed. Thank
like,
you.
Like,
yes.
Fuck our church in the face. Jesus Christ, baby.
Yeah, he gets the real shit here. So
that's amazing.
All right. So I have a two-part question I wanted to close things off with. Have you ever seen anything weirder than this in your whole goddamn life? And if so, what drugs were you on at the time? And do you still know where I could get some?
Yeah.
I will say this is neck and neck with that puppet movie you guys made me endure.
Yeah.
This is neck and neck with that. That was a terrifying experience.
Or that fish animation, the fish thing. Of Salty's career. Yeah, but I don't know. This is a solid contender for the weirdest fucking movie we have ever watched on this show. I will give it that.
I don't ever want to do a hallucinogen again. Like, I don't trust.
I'm done. This cured me.
These to stay in the. I don't trust these images to stay in my conscious mind.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the second the Glavgol-Gabgolev shows up in a trip, the trip is over. Yeah.
Yeah, it's.
No. He's just hanging on to the spirit molecule.
All right. Well, Cecil, thanks so much for hanging out with us. And as always, just forward any mental health expenses related to today's appearance to our bookkeeper. We will get you reimbursed.
Thank you. I will, for sure.
And of course, be sure to check out the show notes for links to Cecil's other shit. You owe it to him after he watched this insane bullshit for you.
You owe it to me.
I expect lots of glob go glab galab references on Lawful Assembly from now on. Okay?
I will make sure we talk about a bump stock, and then the next week is glob go glab
glab. Glob go glab glab. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Absolutely. That episode could just be called "Where Is Your God Now?"
Well, that episode could be called "The Guy Who Made This Movie Is Making Me Record This at Gunpoint."
Yeah. Gunpoint. Yeah.
Better. I have to respond. I have to pronounce glub glub glab glab correctly.
I am blinking Morse code as I record.
Yeah. Right. Hopefully you can hear my eyelids. All right. Well, that's going to do it for our review of Stravinsky and the Mysterious House. That's not going to do it for the episode just yet, though, because we still need to lure you back next week. So, Eli, tell us what's on deck.
Well, Noah, in confusing times like these, we're all a little concerned about our health. But what if I told you cancer could be cured by some hard squeezed apples? That's right.
What?
We'll be watching The Gerson Miracle.
God damn it. Okay, so with that to look forward to, we're going to bring episode 448 to a merciful close. Once again, a huge thanks to all the Patreon donors to help make the show go. If you'd like to count yourself among their ranks, you can make a per episode donation at patreon.com/godawful and thereby earn early access to an ad-free version of every episode. You can also help a ton by leaving us a 5-star review and by sharing the show on all your various social media platforms. And if you enjoyed this show, be sure to check out our sibling shows, The Scathing Atheist, Citation Needed, D&D-, and The Skeptic Guide, available wherever podcasts live. If you have questions, comments, or cinematic suggestions, you can email godawfulmovies@gmail.com. Tim Robertson takes care of our social media. Our theme song was written and performed by Ryan Slotnick of Adrift on Mars. All the other music was written and performed by audio engineer Morgan Clark and was used with permission. Thanks again for giving us a check of your life this week. For Heath Enright and Eli Busdig, I'm Noah Lucian, promising to work hard to earn another check next week. Until then, we'll leave you with the Breakfast Club close.
The cello still played with itself. It just did it when the queen went to bed.
The dead-eyed dancing books went on to be right behind you.
Scottish Troll was actually lovely in person at the Glasgow live show. And we don't want him to think we didn't enjoy meeting him.
All right. So Eli, there was some wondering about this while you were away for your bathroom break. Was it a number one or a glob glob glab glab?
It was definitely a glab glab glab.
Oh, glob glob glab glab. Got it.
That's actually the noise it makes as it hits the water.
That's actually what he's named after.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah, you're going to die. You're 100% going to die.
100% going to die. No, this guy's going to be like, well, you know, they're comedians. I guess agreed. No, absolutely not.
No. He's 1 centimeter from your nose tomorrow morning.
Right.
After this release, he's 1 centimeter. Yep. Yeah.
Died doing what I loved.
Well, because you're going to just, there's nothing that I know about you more than I know that you would just, you know, carry the bit out to the very end.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
You would be pulling out your spleen and you're like, oh, it looks like a gob, glab, 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 doesn't it? That spleen.
Asshole.
You notice the smoothness with which my spleen just came out of my body.
All right. And Fitbot had.
I love how your voice kind of breaks on spleen a little, which is perfect. It's just, that's a touch that really is just perfect. Mm-hmm.
Chicago has a beach.
It does have a beach.
You guys have a beach?
We do. Yeah. We have the lakefront
Lake
beach.
Michigan.
It's cold for 9 months a year, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's kind of really cold the other three. I mean, it's mostly
cold all the time.
Three-week period there where it's actually very nice. It's very nice there.
Yeah.
Oh, did you know, fun fact, COVID vaccine is what caused my heart attack. I learn about that every 3 days or so in an email.
In an email?
Yep, yeah. I get an email every 3 days
Very
or so.
Very cool. I'm glad doctors listen to your show. So
exactly.
Yeah, so research. A lot that's of awesome. Medical experts.
It's got to feel so good to be that protected, Noah. Mm-hmm.
The preceding podcast was a production of Puzzle and a Thunderstorm, LLC. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.